Thanks for being here on this Wednesday evening. For those of you joining us online, God bless you. We pray the Lord blesses you where you are tonight. And for folks that we have that are out of town, vacationing and so forth, if you're watching, have a good time. We miss you. Well, you know what I'm going to ask you to do? In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand because the scripture we're memorizing this month is in Colossians 3. But first, Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, we're having Overflow Weekend. We had one of these back in February. God moved so powerfully in here. So many people were touched. And we're expecting this weekend to be that same kind of weekend. Dan Hammer, his wife Terry, will be with him from the Seattle, Washington area. This is a man who walks among the nations, has a strong anointing on his life. I know you're going to be blessed. So we're going to be here at 10 o'clock. It's like having Sunday morning on Saturday morning. And then we'll have Sunday morning on Sunday morning, okay? So mark your calendars, be here, and come expecting. Invite people to come with you. You know God can do in a moment what we could never do in a million years, right? So that's Saturday. Now let's stand together. And we started this on Sunday morning, and throughout the month of June, we're going to be memorizing this scripture together if you haven't already memorized it, okay? Colossians 3, beginning with verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's easy to read, hard to do at times, right? One more time. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that word. You may be seated. Well, tonight, I want to share a message entitled, Discouragement, the Devil's Delight. This coming Sunday morning will be my 40th anniversary in the pulpit. I preached my first message on the first Sunday in June. Actually, it was on June the 12th, the second Sunday in June, 1983. The first message I preached was out of 1 John chapter 1. The following week, I was invited by the church I grew up in to come and preach. And the message I preached, and I'm borrowing that title, I don't really remember that message, but this was the title I used for that message, Discouragement, the Devil's Delight. I don't remember much about that message, but I do remember one story I told, and I want to share that with you. It said that there was a man who had a dream, and he was in a place, and he came upon a building, and it was called the Devil's Tool Shed. He went in that tool shed and started looking around. And he saw different instruments the devil used and implements on the wall. Well, there was adultery and the one he used for a lust. And there was one he used for addiction. And there was one for hatred, for murder, for envy, and so forth. And then there was one there, and he couldn't figure out what it's for. So he asked the devil, said, "What is that one right there? What do you use that for?" And the devil, with his devilish grin, looked at him and said, "Ah, when none of these others will work on the great men of God, this is the one I used. It's called discouragement." If you haven't been saved very long, or if you've been saved 40 years, there are times when you will have to do battle with discouragement. Simply the loss of courage, the loss of desire to press on, the loss of initiative and motivation to keep on keeping on. The devil knows, and to his delight, that discouragement will often work when his other traps and snares fail. And you may be here tonight. It may be that you've had a discouraging day. Or if not, you may have had a discouraging conversation or a discouraging moment. Some of you, you may be thinking, "I don't know when the last day I've had when I wasn't discouraged." Maybe you're in a season of discouragement. It can take the sap out of you, the strength out of you. And there's so many scriptures that speak to this, old and new. But I'm gonna borrow one from Isaiah, who wrote to a nation that had all kind of stuff going on. God's chastening, invading nations, the loss of everything. But Isaiah, he would give them the messages of what God was going to do because of their sin, and then he would instill hope of what God was going to do after that. So sometimes we're discouraged because we face loss. Imagine some of the things that Pastor Gary mentioned that people go through. They can be very discouraging. Sometimes we're discouraged because of what someone may say. Sometimes we may be discouraged because of what someone does not say. Sometimes we may be discouraged because of things that happened that we didn't think were going to happen. And then other times we may be discouraged because of things that did happen or didn't happen that we expected to happen. You get the drift. All kinds of life events, challenges, and changes can cause us to become discouraged. And there are forces of darkness that will try to custom make circumstance and situation, conversations and interactions with people to try to release discouragement into your life. Because the discouraged person finds it hard to pray. The discouraged person finds it difficult to trust God, to believe God. The discouraged person is someone who's lost the grip of hope in their heart. The discouraged person loses their initiative, their momentum, their get up and go has gotten up and gone. And they feel worn out, weary, fatigued. You understand. Most of us have been there. You may know someone right now who's discouraged. That someone could be the person sitting in the seat you're sitting in. Or maybe someone in your family's discouraged and you've tried everything you know to do to encourage them. But I'm telling you that through God's Word, we can find the truth. And when the Holy Spirit is allowed to take that truth, and we can receive that in our heart, when we'll open our hearts to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we can be infused anew and afresh with strength and courage to live the life that God created us to live. Okay, here's the scripture, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Now that language means something if you've been drop-kicked to the curb, slam-dunked into the dumpster, or had one of those everything that can go wrong seems to have gone wrong kind of days. This is God's message to a whole nation that was discouraged, disappointed, disillusioned, defeated, and for the most part because of wrong choices they had made. Sometimes you become discouraged because of that, your failures. Sometimes you're discouraged because the failure of someone else you love. On and on, the list can go. But this scripture, there's so many we could use. Let's just break it apart for the next few minutes and ask the Holy Spirit to infuse some encouragement into us through God's Word. Isn't He called our Paraclete? Different translations, advocate or encourager, comforter. The idea is He is the one that can get this job done for you. He can encourage you, and He can do it right now through this Word from God. Okay, let's break it apart. Let's start where it starts. Fear not. These are some things the Word of God is encouraging us to do tonight to win this battle against discouragement and wipe that devilish grin off the devil's face. Okay? Fear not. Do you know it's like 365 times or so in the Bible, God tells us the same thing. Don't be afraid. Fear not. So we see here that one of the things going on when we're discouraged is fear is getting a hold of us some way. The fear can manifest in anxiety and worry, which means I'm not so sure about tomorrow. I'm not so sure if things are going to be all right. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it through this. I'm not sure if things can change or not. Under that is fear that God's not able, that His promises can't be honored. So we have to recognize that, and we need to renounce that fear. And I quoted earlier, 1 John chapter 4, that perfect love casts out fear. That's not in this verse, but it's in this verse. Because this is coming from God, and the Bible says God is love. When we understand how much Father loves us, just like, what are you going to do to keep your child from being discouraged or depressed or hurt in some way? You're going to do everything you humanly can do. And sometimes we're at a place when we can't do anything. But see, we can always call upon the Lord. Fear not. Now, if you remember when we started our scripture memories, the first scripture we memorized was Psalm 27:1. So I'm going to put you on the spot. Psalm 27:1. Let's say it together. I'll help you. Thee. Okay. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So that helps us to realize that God's got this. We don't have to be afraid. So I'm going to move on. The first thing is fear not. And we declared Psalm 27:1. If nothing else, when you start feeling discouraged, just put your hands toward heaven and declare that, Lord, You are my light. You are my salvation. Lord, You are I will not fear. You are the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You'll start feeling that champion wake up on the inside of you. All right. Second thing we see here, you are not alone. Fear not, for I am with you. God is saying, you're not in this by yourself. You are not flying through this storm solo. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. Now, if I were to just say to you, hey, I'm with you, well, so what? You know, well, maybe that helped a little bit. But when the God who spoke the universe into existence, who has all power, knows all things, and is ever present, well, if He's ever present, and He's present everywhere, He's with you. He wants you to know, I am with you. It's so important. You are not alone. I remember all of our children are grown. We're working on grands now. By the way, for the 100th time, let me remind you, we've got 9. But when our kids were growing up, and now we see it in the grandkids, and they would have some kind of event that we would go to, like a recital or a little graduation or, you know, something where they're participating, a soccer game or whatever. I noticed, you know, when the audience is gathered and they come on the stage and they get up there, what's the first thing they start doing? And you watch them. And when they lock eyes with you, you just see their countenance change. It's like there may be a little bit of fearful situation. But when they find dad or mom, that, well, we're that way too. We're God's kids. And He's telling us, listen, when you're feeling that way, remember, I'm with you. I'm with you. I am with you. That's good news for us. Third thing, I said fear not, let's use fret not. It's actually scriptures that tell us fret not. And that has to be a southern, that's got a southern feel to it. Don't fret about it. Don't be uptight. Don't be pulled apart at the seams. Don't be anxious. The word here, dismayed, that Isaiah used, it has the idea of looking about anxiously. Sometimes it's used just to look at. But in this context, it means to look about anxiously. You know, when you start getting discouraged, you start seeing problems you didn't even know were there. Why? because you're problem-oriented now. You're focusing on your problem, not your promise. You're focusing on what the devil's doing instead of what God's doing. And then when we're looking for that, like when I go deer hunting, I'm not looking for trees. You know? Now, I've seen a few of those little trees out there that look like antlers, and I'd have to scope it and see, you know. But you're looking for deer if you're deer hunting. And we need to realize that when we're in the middle of discouraging situations, we want to keep our eyes on Jesus. We don't want to look around at all the stuff the devil's doing. Is he doing stuff? Yes, he is. And he gets boot kicked into the bottomless pit. Then he's going to take a 1,000-year break. And then he's going to be let loose for a season. And then he's going to go to an eternal barbecue in a lake of fire that burns forever and ever. That's his end. So as you've heard me and others tell you, when he reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future, right? So fret not. One of my favorite stories is about old Sam the mule. Been on the farm for years and years, and old Sam got where he couldn't do anything except eat the grass that was needed. And farmer tried to sell old Sam. Nobody wanted to buy old Sam, so he just decided, you know what? He's eating my grass up. I'm just gonna throw him in the well and bury him in that well. Throws old Sam down in the well, and then he starts shoveling dirt down in the well. Threw that dirt down on old Sam the mule. He's down in that bottom. What a sad, sad scene. Old Sam's being buried, throwing dirt. That old dirt hit old Sam on the back. He'd just shake it off. When it got up so much, he'd just step up on that dirt. Old farmer keep piling the dirt in there. It hit old Sam. That dirt had hit him. He'd just shake it off, and he'd step up on. Well, farmer kept working. Old Sam kept shaking it off and stepping up. Next thing you know, the farmer got to the top. Oh, Sam just shook that last shovel full off and stepped out of that hole. And we have to learn to do that too. Don't look around anxiously. Don't be dismayed. Whatever's coming down the pike at you, shake it off and step up. You can do all things through Christ, who is your strength. Number 4, God is your God. Now, interesting. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. Why? For I am your God. Now, I like that. I like that because, again, this is the God of the universe saying to us, hey, I want you to know I am your God. See, He's God of everything. End of the day, everybody's going to know that. But there are other gods that people worship. You can make an idol of almost anything, and it becomes your object of worship. But God is reminding Israel that He had chosen and set apart who had turned away from Him and committed idolatry with other gods, pagan gods, false gods. He's reminding him, okay now, don't be dismayed. I am your God. Even when you messed up and you failed, believer, you look to Him and remember, He's still your God. He wants you to know, as you've heard me teach out of Romans 8, the Spirit Himself bears witness with your spirit. And He cries out, Abba, Father. God put His Spirit in you so that you would know you belong to Him. You don't belong to the world anymore. You don't belong to the devil anymore. You belong to Him. And the Holy Spirit in you will help you be aware of that. If you won't quench Him and you won't grieve Him, God wants you to know He is your God. Declare this with me. Point to heaven. All right? And say, God is my God. And God is my Father. God is my God. And God is my Father. And sometimes you need to preach yourself up out of that hole and take that finger and look in the mirror and remind yourself. And if some devil's whispering in your ear trying to tell you contrary, give him an earful of the same thing. God's my God. Be gone. Fear not. You are not alone. Fret not. God is your God. Now, the next thing that Isaiah says is you're stronger than you think. Look how Isaiah says it. He says it. God is saying to Isaiah, I will strengthen you. Notice that I will strengthen you. There's strength that you can get from Him that you don't have right now. Do you know that's how grace operates? I mean, we can have an altar call tonight. Come up and just pray the Lord to give you all the grace that you're going to need for tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. Grace is now. You know, if you're not careful, the devil will cause you to expend the grace you have for today worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. Right? But the Lord says, I will strengthen you. That's a promise. I will. He didn't say, you know, I might strengthen you. He said, I will strengthen you. He's calling them up. They're like calling them to attention and saying, hey, don't let fear get its grip on you. Remember, you're not alone. I am with you. Don't be looking around anxiously, all tied in knots about all this stuff. I'm your God, and I will strengthen you. We become weakened by discouragement and wearied by circumstance. And we need to be reminded that God can give us a strength that we do not have in and of ourselves. Grace is God's power given to you to do God's will. That's how we live the Christian life. God energizes us through grace to do what's right. In and of ourselves, we're incompetent and incapable. But in Christ, the God of grace lavishes His grace upon us so that we can live above circumstance. We can overcome discouragement. He said, I will strengthen you. So you are stronger than you think. You know, I was reading recently about an African-American woman by the name of Wilma Rudolph. That name ring a bell? Wilma Rudolph was born close to what we call now Clarksville, Tennessee, in 1940. And as a child in 1940, she was stricken with polio, scarlet fever, and pneumonia. As a result, she had to have the crutches, braces on her legs. And as a matter of fact, that was later, the doctors told her parents, she will never walk. And I remember a number of people had polio when I was young. You know, thank God for the advancements that have been made and for revelation given to Jonas Salk, okay? But Wilma Rudolph was told she would never walk, but her mama, born-again Christian, loved God, committed in her church, you know, stood on the Word. She said she massaged her little legs every day for years. And finally, Wilma got where she could stand up and begin to take some steps. And by the age of around 11, 12 years of age, she was able to walk without those crutches and braces. Her mama just kept massaging, kept telling her, even, you know, when she was able to stand up and walk with crutches, no, you're going to be healed. You're going to be able to walk. You're going to be normal. So by the age of 12, she was able to walk. She started running. 12. 4 years later, she is on the United States Olympic team in 1956 at the age of 16, running the 4x100 relay. And the team won the bronze medal. They were disappointed. 4 years later, the Olympic Games were held in Rome. And Wilma Rudolph was in the 100-meter race, and she broke the world record. Then she ran in the 200-meter race. She broke the world record. She ran in the 4x100 relay with the team and broke the world record. She broke 3 world records. She won 3 gold medals. That's a picture of her. won 3 gold medals. And as she held these 3 gold medals and those 3 different times she got to hear the national anthem as our flag waved, as she stood for the United States of America, it's amazing to realize that just 7 years earlier, she couldn't even walk without crutches and braces. You're stronger than you think. You see, I believe her mama's prayers, her mama's tenacity, that indomitable spirit that she possessed because the Word of God and people and her mama believing with her, she did what the doctor said couldn't be done. She proved to the whole world that she became known as the Tennessee Tornado. And she was labeled as the fastest woman on earth. Amazing story. With God, all things are possible. And we think we have a rough day. Can you imagine the years of that? But look what she was able to do. You are stronger than you think. The Lord says, He says, I will strengthen you. And then the next thing, the sixth thing we see here in this passage, you have unseen help from heaven. Look what He said. He said, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I mean, this is amazing if you can think of you're sitting in a chair in a room and across from you in the other chair is the God of the universe and you're going through a hard time, a sad time, a disheartening time, a discouraging time and the God of the universe is sitting there and he's looking at you and he's telling you, I'll strengthen you. Yeah, I'll help you. That's encouraging because this is God's Word to us as His children tonight. He said, yes, I will help you. You have unseen help from heaven. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. And God has a way of getting His help to us. Sometimes His help comes in the form of other people. Have you ever been down and maybe you were battling discouragement and the phone rings? Hello? Hey, brother. Hey, sister. I was praying, and the Lord just laid you on my heart. And I don't know, He told me, He said, you were really struggling today. And I got this scripture, Psalm 27:1. It said, the Lord's my light, my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord's the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? And then Isaiah 41:10 came to me, and the Lord wants you to know, that don't be afraid. They're not in this alone. He's with you. He doesn't want you to be anxious. He's your God. He's going to take care of you. He'll strengthen you. He'll help you. He's going to uphold you. And you're thinking, my goodness, you've been reading my mail. No, that's the Lord getting heaven's help down here for your need. And He does that all the time. How many times has unseen help come to us when really it was God that dialed it up? It was God who issued the orders from headquarters. And the next thing you know, you're out of the frying pan and you're not in the pot. You know, He's helped you. He's rescued you. He's delivered you. He's come through. He's answered your prayer. You have unseen help from heaven. The women met here on Monday night and talked about God moments. I think they had 70 or so women in the dining hall just having a grand time. Nikki was telling me about it. And pray for her, by the way. She's still battling some sickness herself, so pray for her. She'd be here tonight other than that. But she talked about, Rebecca Daugherty gave a testimony, and I'm not going to share that here. You can ask Rebecca about how God answered a prayer in a miraculous way. Groceries were delivered in a wintertime when they didn't have any money, and 5 bags of groceries. And they were going to thank the man. They turned back around and he had vanished. God does stuff like that. Unseen help from heaven. Sometimes it's through other people. Sometimes it's through His messengers called angels. Do you know that Hebrews tells us that they are ministering spirits sent from the Father to minister you because you are an heir of salvation? You've got an inheritance based on Jesus, what Jesus did on the cross. You have access to that inheritance. And sometimes God goes ahead and releases some of it to you and sends it by an angel. Sometimes He may have somebody lay hands on you and pray a prayer of faith and you get a healing. Sometimes somebody may pray a prayer of agreement with you and you get your breakthrough. You have unseen help from heaven. According to Isaiah 41:10, God Himself says, "Yes, I will help you." Declare this with me. Help is on the way. That's what this is saying. Lord said, yeah. If the Lord says, "Yes, I'll help you," one thing you don't have to do is like, "I wonder if He's going to do it. I wonder when He's going to come. I wonder what He's going to do." No, chill. Take chill pill. The Lord said, "Yes, I'll help you." You can bank on it. You can bank on it. Last thing, you will hold up through this. Whatever it is, you will hold up through it. How can I say that? What Isaiah says here. The Lord Himself says, "I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now, when the Bible uses that phrase "right hand" in reference to God, what's that usually speak of? His strength, His authority, His power, right? So, truth of the matter is, I don't think His left hand is weak either. It's an expression because Jesus is seated on the right hand of God. That's the right hand of, you know, authority and power. And so, did I need to remind you that's where you're seated? You are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Well, Christ is seated at the Father's right hand, the same Father that says, "I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand." And that word righteous, why did the Holy Spirit have Him say, why didn't the Holy Spirit have Him say, "I'll uphold you with my right hand"? He didn't say that. "I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand." And it's not that His left hand's unrighteous. But He's emphasizing that. You see, when God helps you, it's not a quid pro quo like we do here on earth. "Well, you know what? It's going to take me some time. It's going to cost me a little bit. I'll do this for you if you'll do this for me." But the Lord said, "No, my help is righteous based." You know, it's not a quid pro quo thing. It's not. "I'll scratch my back. I'll scratch your back. You scratch mine," kind of thing. Let's work a deal here. Now, there's some things where God does put conditions, but here He's saying, "I will uphold you by my righteous right hand." Whatever God does to get you through this, now hang on to this. It'll be righteous. Sometimes when we get between the rock and the hard place, pinned in the corner, nailed to the mat, we can come up with these ideas of how to get ourselves out of that, but it's not righteous. We'll think, "Well, you know, it might not be right, but I think it'll work." No, you let God do it His way, and it'll be righteous. He didn't have to do anything unrighteous or unholy or ungodly to get done in your life what needs to be done. You can trust His character and His integrity and how He'll work it out. And as a matter of fact, that'll be a guide to discern you whether it's God or not that's offering the help. Because when He upholds you, He'll do it by His righteous right hand. Now pray and declare this with me. God's got this. And God's got me. Isn't that what He's saying? "I'll uphold you. I'll uphold you." Uphold you. You know, sometimes things happen in life that just buckle you at the knees. And you need other people. I remember when my father-in-law died, and our worship team or come in or have some music ready for us, Andrew, ever what you decide. My father-in-law died having a heart surgery. And it was a really hard time. And it was very difficult to share this with my grandchildren, my children, who were, it was their papa. But when we brought Mickey's mom, she's with Jesus now as well, but when we brought her back home and we were leaving her for when she would be there for herself, we were with her for a while, she was with us, but when we took her back home, I'll never forget this, we took her in the house and she started, she went through the kitchen and then the living room, started down the hallway, and she got to the bedroom, and that's where she and her husband had slept together all through those years. And when she got to the door, I saw her stop, and I saw her starting to dip. I knew what was happening. Just, you know, the waves of grief come, but it's the all the initial stuff that's there of the big, of the change. And I watched her, and then, but she stood up, took a deep breath, and she said, "I can do this." And she walked on in that room and faced her fear. And I believe it's because God was with her. I believe God enabled her to do what she didn't have the strength to do. So we have Steve and Pam sitting back here who lost their son just Saturday. And I can only imagine, we love you guys, I'll say it again. And talking with them, they're saying it everything's all, they know where Brian is. But you know, they're having to have that supernatural strength right now. Some of you know you've been through that. Some of you have lost a spouse, some of you have lost a child. Most all of us have lost loved ones close to us. We sorrow not as those who have no hope. Why? We have a God that's with us and that will uphold us with His righteous right hand. I want to ask you to stand as we prepare to conclude this service. I want to ask some of our, ever who schedule our prayer team members or some of our staff and leaders, just come and be here. If you're here, part of this message is God does use His children to help His children. And we're here to pray with you tonight if you have need of prayer. Something's going on in your life. Continue to contend with you to overcome the battle you're in. To ask God to touch you, to bless you, to help you, to strengthen you. So Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, I ask Your Holy Spirit would minister through this word that has been preached, through the prayers that will be prayed here, that unseen help from heaven would make its way into the place of need and the hearts in the room tonight. And those who may be watching online, Lord, help them just the same, we ask. And Lord, I thank You so much that these have gathered here tonight. I pray that You would bless them throughout the remainder of this week. And Lord, while we're still together here tonight, bless the services on Saturday and Sunday. Bring the people here, Lord, that need to be here. And Lord, anoint our precious brother Dan Hammer as he comes. Give him words from heaven to feed our souls, Lord. Help our church, Lord, to receive what we need. I ask that apostolic mantle that's upon him and that prophetic mantle that's upon him, that there would be impartations and deposits that would ignite things in Grace House that we need. And now, Lord, here tonight, I ask for that same thing, Lord, to just ignite in our hearts what we need tonight. May the grace of God be strong upon you. May His peace fill your heart. May His Holy Spirit lead you. May the gifts of the Spirit flow in your life. The fruit of the Spirit flourish in your life. May His angels surround you about. And may you know the favor of the Lord because you are led as a son of God, a child of God, by His Holy Spirit. And may supernatural protection be yours. May supernatural provision be yours. May you be prospered so that you would have everything that you need to fulfill God's will for your life. In the name of Jesus, be a world changer. Amen. Amen. This altar is open. If you have need of prayer, feel free to come on up for prayer. God bless you. Thank you for being here with us on this Wednesday at Grace House. Look forward to seeing you this weekend. If you need prayer, please come on up. We're going to honor this altar area to minister to people.